Since the cattle rustling days of yore, steak has always been an important part of the culinary traditions of Kansas City. You know it's a big deal when one of your baseball teams is called the T-Bones. And whether it's top sirloin, filet mignon, or a big bone-in ribeye, premium cuts matter a lot to this city. With so many varieties and types and restaurants to choose from, where should you go when you want both the sizzle and the steak? I'm Charles Ferruza, and on today's edition of Central Standard, the food critics chew the fat and will guide you to the best steaks on all points of the metro map. However, we'd like to hear from you, and we want to know where the tastiest steaks are in and around Kansas City. We're about to chow down in Cowtown, but first, the news. And welcome to Central Standard Friday. My name is Charles Ferruza here with you to talk about red meat this hour. Luscious, juicy, delicious steaks, of which this town is pretty famous for, I would say. We have a cut of steak named after it. Although, and we could debate this later, but I had always been under the impression that a New York strip and a Kansas City strip were the exact same thing.
I think they're slightly different.
Slightly.
But I can't tell you what that difference is right now. When I was doing some research on it, I did read that.
Okay.
But
well, we'll talk more about that because we are going to be talking in the second half of the show about steaks, one of Kansas City's signature dishes. And I am joined by three talented and gifted writers. And I'll let them introduce themselves, starting with Chris.
My name is Chris Basica, and I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City.
And I'm Mary Block. I have the blog Around the Block at aroundtheblockkc.com, and I write the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
And I'm Emily Ferris from feedmekc.com.
And we are going to talk, as we always do, in the first half of the show, about new restaurants, exciting restaurants, places that have popped up on the screen. And you are more than welcome to join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. 235-2888, or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org, or a tweet to
@kcurcst.
Great. Okay, Chris, where have you been?
Should I first mention the people who contributed?
Oh, please do, because they're the most important part of the show.
Exactly, exactly. We have four new members from the last hour, and just to assure you, we are not doing the pledge drive, but these people did not get their names on.
So and we want to acknowledge them as great stakes.
Yes, we do.
Stakeholders, in case you are.
The four new members are Joy Fletcher of Overland Park, Henry Duran of Olathe, Kansas, Brett and Madonna Cooper from Kansas City, Kansas, and Megan Petrovsky from Olathe, and a existing members re-enlisted, Chris and Ellen Todd. So thanks to all of them, because as you say, without them, the station would not exist.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Is today, by the way, the last day of the winter drive? I think it is.
It's over as of now.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
Oh, well, I want to thank all the people that did pledge during the winter drive. That's wonderful. All right. Christine, where have you been?
Well, a couple of new places and several old, but I want to talk about the new ones first.
Please.
I went to the filling station.
Now, there's two, right?
There's four actually.
Okay.
And the new one is on Johnson Drive right across from Shawnee Mission North. And they have repurposed a little tiny building. I mean, it was a gas station at one time years and years ago. It's been everything from a Persian rug place to a subset of Southwestern Bell. But at any rate, now it is the filling station, and I'd never...
Which is a coffee house slash sort of restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. They serve breakfast and lunch. They serve foods that one eats at breakfast and lunch. Let me say that probably better. And lots of different coffees and teas and soups and really good baked goods, which they get from their sister organization, which I'll come back to in a minute, I think, their sister organization, the Soho Bakery. So the food is very good. The coffee is great. And it's a really handy location if you live in North Overland Park, Mission Shawnee, right there on Johnson Drive across from North. I was surprised. I went there early and one day and asked if a lot of kids from North were going there because they have free Wi-Fi. And she said, not so many. And I thought that was interesting.
It must be relatively new. I just passed it yesterday, and I thought, when did this come here?
I know. I think it's been open for a month, maybe. Okay. So.
And I go to the one on Gillum.
Oh, do you?
And that's a very adorable. Same kind of concept.
Right.
I love that one, and there's one in Westport that's a drive-through.
Right.
Right. Westport Road, and there's also one 2980 McGee Trafficways. The one you're talking about? Okay. So it's a fun place. If you haven't been in, by all means, go. The other new place I went to was 801 Fish.
As did I.
Oh, okay. Well, then join me as I talk about this, because I had a spectacular meal. I thought the place was beautiful. The ceviche was wonderful. I had the red snapper ceviche, and that was really, really good. And my husband is an oyster fan. I am not. But he loved the selection of raw oysters, and they were great. We also had Oysters Rockefeller, which I do like.
Christine, may I ask, is it a terribly expensive place?
Yes.
Yeah, it is pricey.
Because, the 801 Steakhouse is not inexpensive. Yeah.
You know, most of the main courses were in the 30s, 30 to 40. You could get half, and I wanted, did you try this, the half of the 3-pound lobster?
No, I didn't. But, if you look at the menu, they also have lighter entrees.
Yes.
And if you've gotten some of the appetizers, you really don't need a full entree.
No, you don't.
And those are in the 20s, as I recall.
Yes, they are. And they call them second courses.
Okay.
Or first courses, for that matter, too. So although we did, of course.
Yeah.
But I went straight to the grouper because I really love grouper, and they did a great job on it. It was really nice. It's a very pretty place.
Very pretty and very different looking than 801 Chop House. This is light and modern, not, the heavy steakhouse look.
And they've got a regular bar, which isn't that big, but then down past that, they've got a place where you can watch the people cooking. And, gosh, I thought they did a great job. We had the nicest bartendress. She was wonderful.
Can I ask, what is the most expensive thing on the menu?
The Branzino, I can tell you, because somebody at our table ordered it.
Oh, it was $46.
Unless you got the 3-pound lobster.
Yeah, which was $80. The Surf and Turf is $80. Filet is $42. Strip is $42.
I said this last time we talked about this, but I don't mind paying more for really good fish in Kansas City because, it's not like someone's walking out their back door and catching a really
fresh
fish.
And they have a 24-hour dock-to-door policy.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
Very willing to pay more for fish that quality.
So it makes it. And the fish was fresh.
On the subject of expensive fish, I want to say something that if you really feel the need to order a very expensive fish dinner, that's fine. But a more likely place to spend that money would be at KCUR because we were mistaken. This pledge drive, this winter pledge drive, actually goes through Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So we don't want to end it too early. And if you'd like to donate the price of a fish dinner to KCUR, you can do that very effectively by calling the station.
Nice segue, Charles.
Yes.
I also want to throw this question out to you, and then we'll return to the regularly scheduled programming. Joyce emails us, is there a moderately priced lunch place that has some nice Christmas decor here in town?
I would guess. I haven't been, but does on the Webster House.
Yeah, I was thinking Webster House, too.
Oh, they are.
That's
I think they're the other night.
comes to my mind.
It isn't as moderately priced, maybe, as she would think, but it's much more reasonable.
The lunch is fairly reasonable.
Yeah, you can get a good lunch there for $12.
And you can not only admire Christmas decorations, you can buy them.
That's a good point, Emily. Yeah. That's really,
it's a really bad place for me, actually, because I do buy.
I know. It's dangerous for me as well.
Are there any other places that are a combination shop and
Mission Antique Mall.
Mission Antique, yeah.
Oh, Mission Road Antique Mall.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
Cafe right. Sebastian has a great little gift shop
and
the Kemper Museum.
And so does the Nelson.
Yep.
I mean, those are fun.
But are they decorated for Christmas?
I don't know.
Now, I'm sure Mission Road Antique Mall is.
Yes.
But, I think those are good points.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Okay. All right. The only two others I wanted to mention did go to Webster House the other night for an extremely good deal, extremely good meal, and they have kind of a fun thing. They're $20 meals. I don't know if you all are familiar with that, but I think it's on either Wednesday nights. You can get an entree and a salad or soup, and it's $20, and they also have a selection of wines for $20, which seems to me to be, you know, a really, really nice deal. And I'm not sure everybody even knows that that exists. And it's very much on their Facebook page if you look there. And finally, we went back to the Reserve in the Ambassador Hotel for a happy hour. And if you're looking for a place for a happy hour, I will tell you that the Reserve, it's at 1111 Grand. It doesn't ever seem to be full. And you can and they have really good appetizers. I know they have a new chef.
Who's from Ireland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, you know, you can get sliders, you can get really good truffle herb fries, which are very nice.
I got to tell you, the food there is very, very good.
It is good.
And not terribly expensive.
No, it's not. Well, their appetizers are $5 each, and they're
classic. Is that just during happy hour?
At happy hour, yeah. And they have classic cocktails for $6 and $7 for wines by the glass. So it's a really...
And we should say that, you know, people tend to be weary, too, of dining downtown because it's so hard to find a place to park. And the Reserve, which is in the Ambassador Hotel, does have its own parking
yes.
lot directly to the south of the hotel.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. Yes, I was just getting my
directions.
And it's
free to park there.
It's free to park. And I mean, we usually just park on the street around it. It's actually a pretty easy place to park. So that's all that I have today.
Mary, let's run to you.
Okay. Well, I think maybe I've been stalking Chris because I've been to a couple of the same places. We mentioned 801 Fish, and I'll just add that we shared a shrimp cocktail at the table, and they were massive, absolutely massive, and fabulous. Great cocktail sauce, too. Then I had a really nice squid salad with white beans and arugula, very fresh. My husband had a tuna that he loved. And then I had grilled octopus that was quite good.
Oh, did you?
So they really run the gamut.
They do.
And different preparation, a little Asian, a little, you know, Chinese, or that is Asian, a little Mexican.
Right.
So I enjoy it.
Can I ask you, Mary and Chris, do you think that the 801 Fish restaurant will be giving places like McCormick and Schmick's or
the
Bristol run for their money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And this, of course, is right near the Bristol and Leawood.
Right.
But I think this is superior to McCormick and Schmick. And they even had gnocchi, which was quite good and light.
Yeah. So was there a seafood component to it?
There wasn't. It was a side dish. But
all right.
Although it came with my grouper.
Okay.
So.
And then I was at the Reserve for a private party, and the food was excellent. Even though they were serving a lot of people, it was off the menu, and it was quite good. I also went to the new BRGR in Power and Light, and it's really an attractive restaurant. They have one in Corinth. This one is at 11 East 14th Street.
Is that the location that was formerly
Fanny's?
Franz Diner. That
yes.
was horrible.
Yep. It's the Kill Devil Club, Ryan Mabey's nightclub, is right above it. This is a really big space. Beautifully done. I was sorry it wasn't very full the night we were there. There wasn't a concert downtown. There wasn't anything at the Sprint Center.
I bet they do a terrific lunch business, though.
He said they don't do a better lunch business than dinner, which I was surprised to hear.
Huh.
But I had a salmon sandwich that was excellent. My husband had a veggie burger. And that's one of the few independent restaurants down there. So I hope more people will support it.
And it's new.
Fairly new, it is, right? Yeah.
So.
And a great place to go for a happy hour or to watch a game. They've got a lot of TVs.
And Power and Light is quite pleasant during the day.
Yeah.
It's nice and open and
or
quiet.
On a quiet night like we were there,
yeah.
It was very pleasant also. And finally, I went to Graham and Dunn for brunch. I'd been several times for lunch or dinner, but I think they started brunch maybe in the last 6 months or so. And it was excellent. I had a wonderful house-corned pork hash. And my friend had a sweet French toast that he loved. So, and it wasn't packed. So that would be a place if you are shopping on the plaza during the holiday season, that would be a good place to run in and have brunch.
We're actually going there for Christmas Eve dinner.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Get to see the lights. Talk about decorated for the holidays.
Exactly.
All right. And before we turn to Emily, are you finished, Mary?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
I want to remind you that you are listening to the Restaurant Critics panel on KCUR. If you would like to join the conversation, the telephone number into the studio is 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. You are more than welcome to send us an email. We're happy to get them at centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to...
@KCURCST.
Very good. All right. Emily, where have you been?
Well, I finally went to the Taco Republic restaurant location. I'd eaten at the truck in the summer and went to the restaurant. I think it was a Tuesday around noon, around lunch. Kind of echoing what Mary, you'd said before. Like, I love the decor. The service was good. Parking was a little tricky. I was waiting for a parking spot. It was really cold, and I didn't want to park in the lot across 47th Street. I was sadly a little underwhelmed with the food. It was good. I was just expecting it to be really great.
You know, I went back, Emily, and I didn't mention this today because I wanted to turn it over to you, but I had different things and had a better experience. Mm-hmm. The queso fundido was fabulous. The roast chicken was quite good. Frito pie, a little unusual.
I should have tried the Frito pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were doing a whole chicken carryout, and I learned, so you can have it.
Now you can get it off. And on the menu.
Yes. I think they put it on two separate plates because they don't have plates big enough to serve it, which is why apparently they weren't doing it in the restaurant.
Oh, well, this was a half chicken that you can order. Yeah. But I think they're just not real consistent now.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll get there because it's a great operation.
I love the decor, and it just has a really good vibe.
So cool.
It's very cool looking. The staff is really nice. I wanted a little more flavor out of the tacos. And I thought it was a little weird. I had gotten a side of chips with my three tacos, and it was like a giant basket of chips and salsa, and I asked for some sour cream, and they said they don't have sour cream because they're trying to be more authentic, and which I get, but I also, you know, it's Kansas City, and I wanted some sour cream with my chips and salsa.
Would you have found sour cream at Port Fonda?
Probably not, but they would have had crema.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And, you know, it's more of a fast, casual kind of place, and I kind of, you know, it'd be nice to have. But not a big deal. But I feel like it's just going to get better and better.
I do, too.
Yeah. I also went to the Corner Restaurant at 4059 Broadway, which used to be, I called it the scary zombie corner restaurant place. It's such a great, it looks so great inside.
It bears no physical resemblance to the restaurant that was once there.
No. Also, it doesn't smell like the restaurant that was once there. They did a very good job of gutting it. The decor is really great. I really like what they've done in there. I had a spicy sausage Benedict that was really good. It was just smothered in hollandaise. Good fries. The service was great.
Great fries.
Yeah. And what I really loved is that they have coffee that you can get when you're waiting for a table. So you can just pour yourself a cup of coffee and drink it while you wait, which is very important.
Now, Emily, were you just there? Because I was there, and then they switched chefs. I haven't been back since they switched.
I was there, the day after, so 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so that's a new chef, I think, since I was there.
Okay. Yeah. It was the day of the Chiefs-Broncos game because I had a table full of Chiefs fans on the left and Broncos fans on the right, and everyone was getting very loud and rowdy. And then I went back to Pot Pie at 904 Westport Road, and I love that place in the winter. It is so cozy. The beef and mushroom pot pie is probably my favorite winter dish in Kansas City.
Well, those are all good places. Okay, where have I been that's new? I ventured to the darkest corners of the world.
You went south?
North. And of course, I had to have a good friend of mine who may be listening, David Hayden, who's from Gladstone. I convinced him to drive me there because I knew that if I drove to Gladstone, I would wind up in Topeka. So he drove to, there's a new place in Gladstone, interestingly enough, that is owned by Ivan Marquez, who owns the Frida's restaurants.
Oh.
He took over an old Tanner space on Antioch Road. I think it's called Antioch Road there. And it's, he calls it Diego's Bar and Grill, Diego Ford, Diego Rivera. And you know, I don't really like talking about restaurants that have just opened because, you know, they do not have their act together ever. But this place is a very odd place.
Good odd, I hope.
I think it has the potential to be good odd. I think if people go thinking it's going to be anything like Frida's, they're going to be disappointed because they do have, I think, four or five of the same dishes from the Frida's menu. But otherwise, they serve pizza and sandwiches like a bar. It's a bar and grill.
You'd think they'd stick to Mexican because that's what they know so well.
Well, they didn't. And maybe they know the demographic there better than we do. But the waitress I had was absolutely adorable. You could tell that she had never been a waitress before, probably in her life. And when she came over and asked if we wanted a refill for our drinks, this is how she said, "Would you like me to fill that sucker up?" I thought, a little bit more finesse and she'll be good. But anyway, so that's Diego's, and that is on Antioch, somewhere on Antioch in Gladstone. And it just opened, and it'll be interesting to see how it transpires to become whatever it wants to be. They've got some pasta dishes, too. It's kind of an oddball place. Yeah.
Do they have any connection still to Guadalupe?
No, Guadalupe I don't know. Guadalupe Cafe?
Guadalajara Cafe.
Guadalajara.
Yeah.
I prefer Guadalupe because there's a saintly connection there. But no, I don't think they do.
Okay.
And anyway, we're getting a full switchboard, so let's take some calls before we have to run out of time. Let's start with John. Is this the John DiCapo I know?
This is your friend, John DiCapo. How are you?
Good, John. You have an answer for our friend who asked about Christmas decorations, right?
Yeah, you know what? I have a manager at the Italian Gardens to go at 119th and Metcalf named Jessica, who's also an artist. And she has decorated our little drive-through-only Italian restaurant to look like Santa's winter wonderland. And if anybody lives in Overland Park or has kids, you owe it to yourself to drive through the drive-through, buy something or buy nothing, and just go by and see how beautiful it is. It's unique. I told Jessica, do whatever you want, and I should never told her that because she went absolutely crazy, and it looks wonderful.
Hey, John, thank you. I'll drive out there. Now, wait a minute. Will Santa Claus be there?
Well, Santa Claus is Carl DiCapo in a Santa Claus outfit.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear.
There's a big sign. It's just, Charles, it's truly amazing.
All right.
Out of 119th and Metcalf. You can't miss it.
All right. I often long to go to a winter wonderland. Today is not one of those days, but I often do. Let's go to Andre real quickly. Andre, let's make this fast. What do you want to know?
I'm saying it again. I'm sorry.
We're running out of time for this first half hour, so tell us what your question is. We'll try to answer it quickly.
I'm trying to find diners in the Kansas City area, like not corporate diners, but locally owned, that serve breakfast. Where I'm from the East. There's tons of diners, little local ones that you can go to with great breakfast. I don't really know anything in Kansas City.
Okay, well, we're going to let you answer. We're going to let you write these things down, and we'll give you a quick list. I would suggest, of course, the Town Topic restaurants.
That's the first thought. And the one on 75th and Metcalf, owned by...
Oh, Cozy's?
Cozy's.
Cozy's Cafe, which is owned by a lovely young woman from, I can't even remember where, somewhere
Croatia,
in Eastern Europe,
yeah,
Croatia, I think. Let's see. We're
corner restaurant that I just mentioned.
Yes,
the
diner. It's a little more upscale than a traditional diner. If you want a really classic Kansas City diner, there's Hayes Hamburgers and Chili in North Kansas City. That I believe is on Vivian Road. I think, and maybe then again it isn't. where else diners? There actually are.
We don't have the number that they do on the East Coast.
Right.
That's for sure. So,
I'll tell you, Niecy's on Troost.
Oh yeah,
is a very economically priced Southern style diner. I would say, Mary, where do you think?
You know, this isn't a typical diner, but Succotash is just such a great place for breakfast and
lunch. It's a hipster diner.
It is.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And that's on. Holmes.
And that makes me think you say tomato, not quite a... It's more like a diner meets a bodega, which is very East Coast.
Sure, sure. We're leaving some classic things out, I'm sure. But, our listeners are always welcome to call in and throw their 2 cents in at 816-235-2888. Diners, yes. I want to know about diners that are decorated for Christmas.
They should be.
They should be.
They should be, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad you thought of Cozies, too, because, you know, that sort of falls off the screen, but it's a cute little place.
It's cute, and they do special dinners, and they work really, really hard.
And that's just east of Metcalf on 75th Street.
Right, on the north side.
Great. And last call for diners.
I don't know. I hope somebody will call in with some, because I love a good diner.
I love a good diner, and I especially love a good diner that's decorated for Christmas. And even more than that, I love a good diner where Santa Claus is in attendance. So
you're asking for quite a bit.
I love a good diner where my French fries and everything is cooked in the same grease as breakfast.
And I think that's our cue for Lori to take us out of the diners and into a break. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think it's time.
And you're back with us at Central Standard Friday. By the way, we had a question in the first half of the show. JJ from Harrisonville is answering at least one of the questions, which was, the best place for Christmas decorations is currently at Crown Center. And I guess if you're at Milano, you could look out the window and certainly see them. Anyway, welcome back to our show. We are talking this half hour about steaks. I'm Charles Ferruza, and I'm joined by my filet mignon of critics, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Chris Basica.
I'm probably a ribeye. A lot more fat.
No. Aww. You are the most exquisite tenderloin that ever was. Anyway, we want to know where you like to go for steak, where you think the best steaks in Kansas City are. And you could tell us by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or you can email us at centralstandard@kcur.org, or you could tweet us at
KCURCST.
We have a full switchboard. I do want to say Lucy from Kansas City, Missouri writes to chide us, and she's definitely slapping my hands because I should have remembered this. One of the best diners in Kansas City, we'd forgot to mention, Casconi's at the City Market.
Oh,
it is the
yeah.
classic diner, and thank you, Lucy. We needed to hear that. That is absolutely true. Anyway, a full switchboard. They're not all about steaks, but let's talk about Jessica. You have a comment for us.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for taking it. I wanted to tell you that I was at the Corner restaurant the other day, which you mentioned, and I had the best hot chocolate almost of my life.
Ooh.
It is like dessert in a glass.
It's going to be rich, right? It was rich?
Oh, my gosh. She told me that they take a candy bar, some sort of chocolate, mix it with cream, pour it in. When it came to the glass, to the table, you could tell. Just by putting your spoon in it, it was carrying the chocolate right up to your mouth. You could see pieces of chocolate floating in it. I actually asked for a to-go cup to take the rest of my hot chocolate home.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to waste it and be able to taste it the rest of the day.
Sounds like you needed a detour to your cardiologist on the way home.
So they use actual heavy cream instead of milk?
That's what you do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it is a true treat.
Wow.
Well, so, is it expensive?
Okay, so I have to tell you, I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't even pay attention. I was treated to lunch by my
mother. All right. Well, that, you know, because, you know, there's a difference between, you know, hot chocolate made with real chocolate and that good old Swiss Miss variety that grew up drinking.
Yeah, this was definitely not Swiss Miss.
All right.
It was a wonderful treat.
Great. Thank you so much. And let's go to Carl. Carl, are you in the air with us?
Hello.
Yes, Carl.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I had a diner. And then I also had my steak place. But
you bring them on.
I can't believe nobody mentioned Chubby's on Broadway.
Well, I think Chubby's is such an icon that it need not be mentioned.
There we go.
Anytime you go to the Uptown, we got to go to Chubby's. And then I think that T-Bone at Justin Jim's out in Martin City, man, the best steak in Kansas City.
You know, I just recently wrote a story for The Pitch on us, a few iconic steak places, Jess and Jim's being one of them. And I'm a huge Jess and Jim's fan. And one of the reasons I like it is my theory on Jess and Jim's is that if you took the most expensive steakhouses in Kansas City, like let's say, you know, Capitol Grill or Ruth Chris, and one of the least expensive steakhouses, like for example, the Golden Corral, and you put those in a blender, you would come out with Jess and Jim's. because they have really good steaks, and you get side dishes and I think a super salad, and you get a lot of bang for the buck. And you know, it's just a fun place to go to. The lighting, on the other hand, I swear that the lighting at Jess and Jim's would make Beyonce look like, you know, a little old lady. It's so harsh. So, but I love it. Any other comments about Jess and Jim's?
Nope. That's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. And we are talking about steak this half hour. We do have a couple of people who still want to talk about diners, and we'll let Julie weigh in. Julie, are you with us? Julie.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes. What were you going to tell us about?
Well, you guys didn't mention Sosa's 39th Street Diner, where Nichols used to be for decades.
I know. Uh-huh. It. And that's a fun place to go to, especially, you know, at 3 a.m.
Yeah. You know, I work there, and we serve, you know, 24/7, and we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and some excellent Mexican entrees. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents in.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Julie. That's Sosa's 39th Street Diner, where Nichols Lunch used to be. I think some ghosts from Nichols Lunch are still hanging around there in the back. Nathan from downtown tells us that Anton's Tap Room has really wonderful steak. That is an understatement. Mm-hmm. Anton's Tap Room at, I believe it's 1610 Main Street, has maybe the best steaks in Kansas City.
They're on my list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to the list then. You start out with us, Chris.
Okay. Well, I have a fairly long list, but the place I finally made it to the final cut in the Hollywood Casino. And
now, I heard that's awfully expensive. Or does it hold its own with all of them?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as all of them, although they have several special on Friday nights, which this really surprises me. Friday nights, for $50, you and your partner, companion can get a choice of entrees, and one of them is a filet. One of them, when we were there, was a wild-caught salmon. I can't remember the third, but you can get an appetizer, a main course, and you can split it. I think you can split a dessert, and it's $50.
Wow,
it's a huge deal. Huge.
Wait, what nights are those?
Friday.
Wow.
Friday.
It's usually a busy night.
I know. Yeah. They have something going on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. It's very surprising. And I didn't bring my right list, but that is a lovely restaurant. It does not feel like you are in a casino, which to me would be the only reason. I mean, you know, it would hold its own anywhere. It is really good. I had some of the best French onion soup I have ever had. It was like deconstructed French onion soup.
How would you
explain
that? It
was fabulous.
The cheese was in a different plate?
The cheese was on a long piece of bread, toasted perfectly, and there were onions and stuff in the bottom of the bowl, and they poured the richest broth I think I've tasted ever on top of it. It was fabulous.
Sounds wonderful.
It was wonderful. And I once I got through the casino, I thought, oh my, this is just spectacular. Yeah.
And I shared a tomahawk chop with someone once, and it was one of the best steaks I've ever eaten.
And it's like 52 or 65.
It could be much more than
but
that.
But it's huge.
It's
28
huge.
Ounces.
Yeah,
or
we
something.
Took quite a bit home.
Yeah.
So. The Capitol Grill right now is offering a tomahawk chop, and I want to say it's $80.
Yeah,
really?
It could be.
So anyway.
You get several meals out of it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you order them rare.
Okay, so the Final Cut Steakhouse, which is in the Hollywood Casino at Legends. Anything else?
You know what? Our go-to, and I hate that it's true, but our go-to is Capitol Grill. You know, we've never had a bad steak there. The service is always good.
The service is always exquisite.
Yes.
It really is.
They do everything well. Their coconut cream pie, which I finally discovered. Whoa, is that good.
And the flourless chocolate cake isn't too bad either.
Yeah, I know. And I love their pepper. You know what? I think I've eaten almost everything on that plate, on that menu. And certainly when it comes to my plate, I'm very good at eating it all.
All right. And we are taking your calls about steaks in Kansas City. Everyone seems to have a favorite steak place. The telephone number again, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or we'll take your emails if you don't have time to wait on the phone at centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to...
@KCURCST.
Great. Oh, speaking of casinos, Gary writes us in an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. I love the range at Harrah's. They have a great atmosphere and better steaks than the Final Cut. Well, that remains to be seen. I have eaten at the range. It's a great steakhouse. I think, I don't know, if you say so, we'll take it on face value here. I would put the range more in the category of Jess and Jim's, I would think. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yep.
Mary, where have you been?
Well, I would put Anton's and Final Cut on my list. A couple of places that you might not think of. Lydia's has a wonderful ribeye, yes, that with great crushed fried potatoes. It's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Always served rare, which is the way I like it. And then there are places that you might not think about, like Room 39 or Rieger, who get great meats and prepare them really well.
Yeah.
And my son loves Ruth's Chris, and he's into steak. He thinks it's better than Capital Grill.
Really?
But, of course, it's sitting in that sizzling butter, so maybe that has something to do with it. But you had asked at the top of the show about the difference between a Kansas City strip and a New York strip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a lot of difference. It depends on what city you're in as to what you call it. But most people would say that a Kansas City strip is bone-in and a New York strip is boneless.
Hmm. Wow.
So we'll get some, you know, controversy, and some people would say it's the other way around, but that's kind of the
Well, and the New
consensus.
York strip started, I mean, a hotel first named it.
Delmonico's, I thought.
Yeah, Delmonico's, yeah. That's exactly right. And they first named it, and of course they would name it the New York. And, you know, there we are in Cowtown with the cattle going around the Golden Ox, and, you know, that's not a New York strip.
No. It's funny because a Delmonico cut is not a strip. It's more to it. It's more like a porterhouse.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of controversy, Don writes us in an email. The only thing holding back Jess and Jim's is that they no longer serve free pickled beets.
Oh.
Now, I want to say that I have, you know, I've been to Jess and Jim's in the last month or so, and we had free pickled beets. Well, I didn't look at the bill. Maybe they charge us for them. But no, I mean, they brought the pickled beets out, so maybe this is a new development, but I find it.
Or maybe they just forgot that day.
Or maybe they ran out. Maybe they're so popular they ran out.
All probable.
Well, someone from Jess and Jim's is going to have to call us at 816-235-2888 and tell us what the story of the free pickled beets is.
Oh, my gosh.
Hallie writes us in an email. If you're talking about, this is back to diners. How about the one in the City Market simply called The Diner? It's grungy, but they have great service. Well, you've said it all. I love The Diner.
That is a good place, yeah.
Great pancakes. Okay, but we are talking actually steaks. And Mary, did you have any other steak joints?
No, none that had not already been mentioned.
All right. And the lovely, lovely Emily Ferris, where have you been for steaks lately?
I really like going to Pierpont's
Union
Station for steaks. And talk about a place that's decorated for the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Union Station is totally done up. That would be a great place to go before the holidays. And their steaks are amazing and the service is amazing. And you kind of feel like you're stepping back in time when you go there.
And they have a great happy hour.
Yes, absolutely. You can get a little filet. Is it a filet? Yeah, I think a little bacon-wrapped filet on the happy hour. And my next steak is also a happy hour steak at Bluestem.
Oh.
There's a hanger steak, and it's amazing, and it's served with really crispy fries and a mixed green salad and a chimichurri sauce. And I hate to tell any more people about this, though most people know, because I feel like it's a secret among those who know, but the Bluestem happy hour on their lounge menu, you can already get the steak for $16 at any time, and then during happy hour, it's $10. And that, I think, is the best deal in town.
And it's
and
an
get
entire
it while
meal.
Last, because I think they're redoing and remodeling starting in March, and they're going to change up that whole lounge thing.
I hope that they keep that, if nothing else. Capital Grill, of course, a great place for steaks, and the steak frite at Aixois.
Ooh, wee-wee
is very
on
good.
That one. Let's go to Chris. Chris in Kansas City, Missouri. Where do you like to go?
Well, you guys have mentioned all the great places, but the one that I really think is phenomenal, and a lot of times I even forget about it, is the ribeye at Cafe Trio, and it is phenomenal.
Hmm. Really? What makes it so phenomenal?
You know, it's I don't know what they do. Maybe they immerse it in butter for an hour. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, it's like meat crack, and you just eat it. I mean, it's amazing.
All right.
They grill it to perfection, and it is just, it's an incredible cut of meats, and they're a little secretive on it, but I mean, it is really, really good. And anytime I tell people, particularly from out of town, it's like, where do you want to go? I'm like, well, Kansas City can go anywhere. Try Cafe Trio, and they always come back and say, that was a great recommendation. So if you haven't tried it, I would say try it and see if you agree with me. And maybe I had one night where it was great, but I've done it.
No. I've heard really good things about the ribeye at Cafe Trio, which has generally very good food. So thank you, Chris. Yep. And let's go to James. James in Overland Park.
Hi there.
Hey, James. What do you like to tell us about?
Well, the Majestic Steakhouse.
Oh, there's a classic. At 9th and 9th and Broadway.
Right. Yeah, I had one of my most romantic meals ever there. Really excellent steak. I couldn't tell you the cut that I had at this point. It's been a while. But they also have really fantastic jazz, and it's just one of the best steak places you could possibly go.
And it's really in a classic setting. It's the old Fitzpatrick's Bar from, I want to say that bar goes back at least to the early 1900s, if not before that.
It's beautiful in there. Yeah. It feels so much like old Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I have never, ever had a bad meal at the Majestic.
I haven't
either.
It's
always really, really good. So that was an excellent choice, James. Thank you for bringing that to us. And let's see, we're getting some emails. Charlie writes in an email, I love the ribeye at Oak 63. It's always perfectly cooked, and there's usually enough left over for breakfast burritos. What a great idea. Mm. Oak 63 is at 63rd and Oak.
How about that?
Yeah. And William writes us in an email, Jack Stack Filet is the best. I've never had a filet at Jack Stack.
I never have
either.
I can't
imagine going there for steak.
But I bet it is good.
Yeah,
it should be.
All right. We are taking your phone calls, 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. And, you know, that also makes me think of, when I think of steak, I also think of steak soup. And
we haven't mentioned the Plaza 3.
Yes.
No, we haven't.
And, you know, that's part of my steak story from a couple of weeks ago. You could still find it at pitch.com. Plaza 3 is starting to look a little shop-worn to me, but it's still a classic place. And, you know, it may be the only restaurant in the city where the baked potatoes are big enough that you could put them on your feet. They're like the size of a big size 13 shoe.
And they do have steak soup.
A very good steak soup.
And they have great fried potatoes. They're like hash.
Hash browns?
Thank you. The hash browns, which they fry in butter, are wonderful. I think you know, for people who've lived in Kansas City a long time, we should not forget the Plaza 3.
No. Another email says that her husband had the beef tenderloin at Chaz on the Plaza at the Raphael Hotel. And she took one bite and was hooked. It's not huge, but it has the best flavor of any steak I've ever tasted. So, you know, hotels tend to have really at least one good steak on
the menu. Yeah. Right. And hotels are also well decorated for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so pretty to go into.
If they don't have Santa Claus, I'm not going. All right. Let's go to Robert. Robert in Kansas City, Missouri. Robert, where do you like to go for steak?
I love to go to a Kansas City icon, the Saddle and Sirloin Club.
But that's not open to the public, is it?
It's not open to the public, no, but we love to have people join.
All right, well.
They've got a Kansas City strip on the menu right now that's unbelievable.
Well, we prefer to talk about places where everyone listening can go. And
But that's good to know, and maybe a reason to join. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it is an old standby in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I've never been to it, but let's see. What else do we have here on the... We're getting some interesting emails at centralstandard@kcor.org. Feel free to email us. And we're getting some more phone calls, and I know that we've got one coming up about the Hereford House. And, you know, people forget about that because the original one burned down. Let's just say it was well done. Yes. But there are still Hereford houses.
They're very popular.
And they have very good happy hours.
Yes, and let's not forget, everyone loves this place, but I do. And I'm unashamed to say that I love the Golden Ox. I love it because it has not changed really very dramatically since
it is a step into the 60s.
Yeah.
Maybe 50s.
Well, I mean, it opened, I think, in 49, maybe?
Then it's a step into the 49s.
No, but you're right. No, it was redecorated in the 60s and has not been redecorated since. But I love it. And The steaks are pretty good, and you get a lot of, you know, you get some things with it. I think you get a salad or a soup. Mm-hmm. Or a,
it's probably one of the more reasonable steaks in terms of price in town. And the good news now is you do not hear the cows mooing around it, which used to be a little disconcerting.
I was going to say, I wouldn't think of that as a bad thing.
No.
Oh, seriously.
That's the freshest meat in town, if you can hear the
cows.
You know,
I will tell you this.
You could walk right past those. I was a little girl. You could walk right past those cows and look them in the face and then go in and get a steak. It was like, oh. Oh, no.
No wonder you've been in therapy for years. I would be, too.
It's good to know where your food comes from.
Yeah. Yes, but the Golden Ox looks exactly like it did in the days when there were still stockyards down in the West Bottoms. And, you know, every once in a while, if you're dining there, I this is no joke, you will see somebody dressed up like it. Maybe he is a cowboy. You'll see some cowboys in there.
Oh, yeah. So that's worth it. Worth the trip.
I mean, you'll never see a cowboy at the... Well, you might see them at the Golden Corral, but you will not see them at the Capitol Grill.
Not so many. Yeah, that would be true. Yes. Although they've got a great moose head in there. So I like to sit under the moose head.
Chris, you grew up in Kansas City. Do you remember the very first steak restaurant you ever went to?
It was the Golden Ox.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was the first steakhouse I went to when I moved here. It was a business dinner with my husband. It was a big group. And that was back in the 80s. I don't think I've been back.
Oh, well, sometime I'll tell you a great story about the Golden Ox, but not on the air.
All right. Cindy writes us in an email. We went to room 39 a couple of weeks ago. My husband got the Kansas City Strip, and it was really very, very good, tender and flavorful. And, you know, I've never think of room 39 for steaks, but now after today's show, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Mark from Belton writes that he loves the Hereford House. The filet mignon is tender and juicy. And I'm trying to I know there's this Hereford House in Leawood and Independence
and on Shawnee.
Is there at least
a 435 and 75th, what's essentially 75th, whatever it's called over there.
Oh, so. You know, speaking of the suburbs, I want to give a shout out to a place we should have mentioned and I'm not yet, and it's a great, great steakhouse, Jay Gilbert's.
Yes.
And, you know, right now, and I'm talking out of my hat here, but at least when I was there a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, they had a dinner special where you got a choice of either an appetizer or a soup or a salad, and then a steak entree, and then dessert for roughly around $48, and it was a good deal.
That's a good deal. Yeah. Jay Gilbert's has the best blue cheese potato chips.
Oh, I love
really?
That.
They are really good.
I feel like I can't talk about Jay Gilbert's without talking about Jay Alexander's.
Let's give a shout out to them because I kind of like Jay Alexander's.
I love Jay Alexander's.
Chris, you always used to go there.
I love Jay Alexander's. I think their food is really good. I can't think if I've had a steak there. I've had the baby back ribs there are fabulous, but I haven't eaten steak there, but I've eaten almost everything else.
I've had a steak at Jay Alexander's. It's quite good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't mentioned this, but if people don't want to go to a restaurant, they could go to Local Pig or Broadway Butcher Shop or McGonagall's or Anton's and buy a really good meat, Picklemeyer's, buy some great meat and throw it on the grill. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I have a theory that the best steaks you will ever eat are the ones you do not make yourself.
Well, that's I feel that way about hamburgers.
Yeah. I feel that way about salads.
And let's see, we have an email here. One of our listeners always makes a pilgrimage to the Savoy for their dry-aged steaks. And, you know, the Savoy does have they excel at steaks.
Yes, and they're good at lobster.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing to order, really.
It's great. Got great atmosphere.
It sure does.
And you know what? We were there not too long ago. There was a party of about 10 of us, and we had great appetizers, and it was really fun, and the service was wonderful. So
let's go to Carol. Carol in Brookside. What do you want to tell us about Carol?
Oh, you were just asking about old steakhouses in Kansas City. I grew up here, and we always went to the Colony.
Ah, the Colony.
Oh, the Colony Steakhouse.
In Union Station.
It was wonderful.
Well, originally it was at 35th and Broadway.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, that's the one.
That's I went there for my first New Year's Eve out.
Really?
Yes, Marilyn May was singing.
You know?
It was a long time ago.
The story, you know, it's apocryphal, of course, but the story was that Steve Allen discovered Marilyn May when he dropped his steak fork on the ground and looked up and he noticed, well, that girl singing is really talented. So I love Marilyn May. If she's listening, she really helped to put the Colony on the map. But
yes,
it was a classic steakhouse.
Yeah.
I never went to the one on 35th and Broadway, but I went to the one in Union Station and, you know, all of its other incarnations. Yeah. And it was a swell joint.
On Broadway, they used to serve the butter in a giant, they'd give you a stick of butter.
No, really?
Yes. It was a half stick, but an entire half stick of butter. And then they had the group salad bowl, which was so much fun.
A group salad bowl?
A group salad bowl. They'd bring out a big, big wooden bowl, and everybody got salad.
You mean like from different tables? They'd all come over?
No.
Okay.
Sounds like Olive Garden style.
Yeah, now as I was going to say, Olive Garden stole that from the Colony.
They probably did.
Okay, as we're coming up to the top of the hour, I'm going to ask each of you, if you tonight could go to, if someone could take you out to dinner for a steak dinner, and you got to pick, where would you go, starting with Chris?
Oh, man. You know what? I'd probably go back to the Final Cut and get that tomahawk.
Yeah,
all right.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. Although I love the experience at Capitol Grill, but I'd have to go to Lydia's because my husband, if we were going together, wouldn't get steak, and he'd be happy with pasta.
Okay.
And Emily?
I would go to Pierpont's because I love the atmosphere. I love the steak and the atmosphere, and it's just a great experience.
Okay. Where would you go?
I would go to the Golden Corral for the Bacchantes, and I would go to, I'd either go to the Golden Ox or Jay Gilbert's or Jay Alexander's or the Capitol Grill. I couldn't make
up. Did he say to,
good
for
thing
us to
you
get
have
five.
Lots of friends, Charles.
Yeah, yes, I would hope someone would graciously take me. But no, steak is a great iconic dish in Kansas City, and I think I hope we have not missed anything. Oh, we have one. The Frontier Steakhouse in Kansas City, Kansas, 50 years old. If you've never been there, try it out. Anyway, as always, I'd like to thank my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Chris Basica. Of course, you can always find a list of all the restaurants we mentioned today on the Central Standard page at kcur.org. We've also got podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with the best indie documentary and foreign films out right now. Our show was produced today by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross I Love Steak Steinmetz. I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food, KC.